Welcome to this episode of Flock Talk. Today we're bringing you a presentation from this past fall's OSF convention. Listen to Bill McCutcheon and Delmer Martin deliver a panel on market lamb assessment and carcass data. Bill and Delmer are seasoned experts in the sheep industry, bringing practical insights into evaluating market lambs and using carcass data to inform better production decisions. Their expertise helps producers align with market demands while optimizing quality and profitability. Let's dive into their recorded session and learn how assessment and data can drive success in your sheep operation.
Next up, we have our market lamb assessment and carcass data panel discussion with Bill McCutcheon and Delmer Martin. Bill operates a farm with 600 ewes and custom grazes cow-calf pairs. He also manages Ontario Lamb Marketing Inc., supplying lambs to federally inspected processors. Bill is active as chair of the Dufferin Federation of Agriculture, a 4-H leader, and enjoys winter curling. Delmer Martin manages the meat operations at Peel Sausage, a family business founded in 1991 by his father, Leroy B. Martin. In addition to processing their own livestock, the company offers custom slaughter, chilling, and aging of beef, veal, lamb, and goats. Originally operating from a small on-farm facility, they built a new plant in 2004 to meet growing demand. Delmer took over the meat operations in 2015, while his brother Philip and their father oversee the farming side of the business. So they're going to come up and do a presentation to you guys, starting with Bill. Come on up.
Thanks a lot, Aaron, and welcome everybody. We looked at some carcasses, and they were from the same farms as the three farms that were just up here. And I think those farms are, I'm going to call them incredibly brave to kind of bare their souls and tell everybody what they're doing and why they're doing it. And I think that's incredibly important when we want to learn from each other and move forward. So it's really great that they did that. So the lambs are from those three farms that we had. So these are a picture of the lambs. No, I didn't. Anita took these pictures, so I didn't see these lambs live, because that's not really what I'm concerned about. I like seeing them when they're strung up by their back legs. But those were the groups of lambs that we used. So we tried to get them all similar weight, 105 pounds, and we have the data on the weights as well. This is just a picture of some product that out of the plant that I deal with. So this is White Valley. That's the lamb you had last night. It was fantastic, wasn't it? Awesome. And so I have to say we're one of the only federally licensed plants in Ontario that supply federal lamb. It's a little awkward because there is no federal custom kill in the province of Ontario. So these lambs go all the way to Quebec with the veal and come back into the plant in Cookstown. That is not in the plant. That happens to be on top of my warming box in my barn. So 100% sanitary, okay? I just put this slide up because there's lots of competition out there in the lamb business, and it's well presented, and its quality is different than what we have. And I think that's what really gives us our competitive advantage here in Ontario, is that our lambs are primarily feedlot finished. They may be grass fed for a time, but they're primarily feedlot finished. And it gives them that milder and sweeter taste on the lambs. But this is not just recent, but it's near my hometown, and that's a big leg of lamb, right? And it's, but it's similarly priced our product. But there is lots of competition out there, and we may think that it's bad to have imported lambs in our grocery stores, but if we didn't have that lamb here, nobody'd be eating lamb because we don't produce enough of it ourselves. In the plant that I deal with, lambs are not hung individually when I see them. They're hung individually, of course, in the kill plant. But when they get to the processing plant, they're usually on trees. So there might be up to eight lambs on a hook. I guess the whole thing in, with processing in Canada is that all these lambs are not, or all these plants are not set up to kill lambs. They're multi-species plants, and the goal of these plants is to get as many kilos through these plants as they can and try and hang the same amount of lamb in a spot it would take to hang a half a beef. And so we don't hang lambs on single hooks usually. They're hung on trees and they're rolled on these trees, and we get them processed as quick as we can. So it's a premium product, and it's a product that we need to preserve. So these lambs are on our schedule. We primarily load lambs on a Monday. They're killed on a Tuesday. They're back on the plant on a Wednesday. I grade them on Thursday morning, and by Thursday afternoon, they're all in vacuum pack. Because we can't afford to have a lot of shrink on these lambs. Right now, we're paying $12.86 a kilo on lambs. So we can't afford to lose 4% on those lambs by letting them hang for 3 or 4 days. It's just, it takes a lot of the profit out of it. These are new crop lambs. And it's a pretty market specific thing, but these lambs are super expensive by the time you get them on that hook. Those lambs, I average about 12 and a half kilos. And the price, those lambs right there, without even being cut, are about $23 a kilo. So it's a lot of money. And if any of you go to stores and see what lambs priced at, most of those lambs are used as a loss leader. There's not, I guess what I'm trying to say, and some of you have heard me say this before, it's a pretty artificial market to a certain extent, that new crop market at Easter and Christmas, because if they tried to charge the consumer what they were actually worth, they wouldn't buy them because they're too expensive. So in most cases, those lambs incur a loss somewhere by somebody of about $100 a lamb. But they understand, all the supermarkets understand that lamb buyers buy other expensive things when they're in grocery stores. So it's a premium product. It's more like a, to equate it to the white veal business. I mean, I deal with a veal company that slaughters, that processes 40,000 calves, and it's all about color, and it's all about freshness, and it's all about pinkness, and it's more like a white veal product, those new crop type lambs. So this is just the program, just short on the program that I run. We're looking for lambs that are 20 to 25 kilos dressed, warm dressed weights. We do have a cap at 27 kilos, so you can produce them bigger than 27 if you like, but we're not going to pay you for them, pay you for the extra weight that's in there. The pelvic and kidney fat and kidney are in. So this is important, like no head, no pluck, is that, you know, it's great to see these districts. Your districts do hoof-to-hook workshops. But I think it's important that we bring all those lambs back to a common denominator, because a lot of the provincial plants will dress those lambs with head on pluck in. And, you know, I'm talking to a guy in District 7 that ran a hoof to hook, and his dresses are 59%. And the one that we ran were 48%. And you know, sheep can't be that different within a 200-mile range, right? So I think it's important that we're talking about the same thing at the same time. So these lambs also have the trotters off, so that bone below the knee is gone on all four legs. And so there's some differences in how they're dressed. So I think it's important that if we're going to have an intelligent conversation and compare what lambs did here and did there, is that we're talking about the same thing at the same time. And and I mean, a good example of this is that, you know, we look at the price of Northumberland, where they buy carcasses, but the settlement weight on those carcasses is cold and with no pelvic and kidney fat. So those lambs are not dressing probably more than 44% on that kind of a program. So that's just a bit of a comparison. You'll see what these lambs dressed that we processed in this demonstration. That's our current price right now. It's $12.86. We have a formula price that varies per month to a certain extent based on the yearly average price of lambs that are over 95 pounds. over 90 pounds, 95 pounds. Anyways, I just have a description, and these are the same slides, hasn't changed from a year ago. The body condition score, or the condition score on lambs is the same. And so lambs are assessed for muscle on the leg, loin, and shoulder. So these are lambs that were of similar weight and of similar GR measurements, so grade ruler. So these lambs are measured at the 12th rib, 11 centimeters from the midline. So it's a total tissue depth, because there is a band of muscle, flank muscle, that runs through that area as well. So, and this is not something we made up. I mean, this is a pretty internationally respected area based on science that reflects percentage of total lamb fat, total carcass fat. It's used lots of plants in New Zealand, lots of plants in Australia still use the GR depth, and so we're doing the same thing. This is not new technology. This is like 30-year-old technology, and you know, it's we need to kind of get up to speed on some of this stuff, in my opinion. So those lambs were all about in that 10 to or about in that 9 to 12 GR range. And so what you're really looking at here is difference in muscle thickness when you look at these slides. So the lambs are assessed on the leg, loin, shoulder on a score of 1 to 5. Okay, so that first lamb on your left-hand side is a 3-3-2. So it's a little more angular in the shoulder. Anything that's a 3 or better is adequate for muscle. There's nothing wrong with them. We process all kinds of lambs that are three legs and three loins, and some that are two shoulders. Things that maybe changed in the last 20 years, they certainly have, is because 20 or 30 years ago, you couldn't. The first thing that would sell on a lamb would be the leg. Now the first thing that sells on a lamb is the shoulder, because you can send it out at a cheaper price. So maybe it's more important now that we don't have as many lambs that are two in the shoulder, that they're a little fuller in the shoulders. So the next lamb there is a 3-3-3 all the way through. So they're nice and smooth. They carry that same thickness through the leg into the loin and onto that shoulder. So certainly that shoulder isn't as angular as that lamb that's a 3-3-2. And then we've got a lamb that's a 4-4-4. So more thickness through that leg. More. The guys that I deal with call it shape. There's more shape to those lambs, and it's really confirmation, because these guys are not livestock people. They're meat guys. So there's more shape. And these are some lambs with some heavier scores. This is the same lamb, the 4-4-4, but then we've got a lamb, two lambs there that are 5-4-4. So they're much heavier in the leg. There's much more pop, we call it, right up in this area here. When those lambs are hung like that. So those are pretty nice lambs. And I guess I don't want to leave you with the impression that we all should be producing lambs with a five leg, because I'm not sure that's possible to start with, and I'm not sure we can do it economically. And the issue I have with, not that I have, but the guys that I deal with, is that you may have lambs like that from time to time. And you send them to a customer, and he'll say, man, those are great legs, and they're great lambs, and I want more next week. And you have to call him up and tell him he can't have them. And he thinks you're lying to him. And it's not because you're lying to him. It's just that you can't, in my experience anyways, on an industry-wide basis, you can't produce those lambs on a weekly basis in any volume to satisfy that customer. And you know, if you could, they'd want more, there's no doubt. But in my experience, we can't accomplish that at this point, for sure. So in lots of cases, we need consistent product week to week. Those lambs that are 3-3-3 all the way through, maybe the odd 4 in the leg, but we can produce consistently every week that are not overfat, so that are in that 9 or 8 or 9 GR up to 15 GR. Those are just some cross sections on the loin. So this lamb is maybe a little a little under condition, but certainly trim standards for most supermarkets would be a quarter inch of fat. I'm not sure what that is in millimeters. I have no idea. But where we're measuring, like the GR is way down the rib. We're not measuring on top of the loin. That's where the scan measurements are. If we do muscle scanning, is that the amount of fat that's quoted is over the deepest part of the loin. When we first had access to ultrasounding, and this is a long time ago, because I'm an old guy like Vince, and I remember trying to ultrasound lambs at the GR point, and it's impossible because that rib is so immature on that lamb that we just couldn't do it. And the best point is over that loin, because you can see the difference on the ultrasound between what's muscle and what's fat on those lambs. So, and there is strong correlation. Like, it's not a bad thing. This is a good thing, because there's strong correlation between what that thickness of fat is on top of that loin compared to the GR site. This smart fella here could tell you exactly what that is. I can't, but maybe can't. I don't know. Not right now. More warning. Yeah, for sure. So this lamb has got a little more fat, and it's still amazes me. We had a hoof to hooker in District 5. We did it up at Parker Meats, and Ryan supplied the lambs, and he had two different ones, which was really good. So one was a 12, right, 12 millimeter, and one was a 17. It's amazing how much more waste there is on a lamb that's just 5 millimeters fatter. It's quite incredible how much waste there is when you start breaking those down into cuts and what kind of trim is there. And it's certainly significant. There's no question of what you're throwing away. So I think it's important as an industry, and I think we need to move to that and have some intelligent conversations about carcass quality and have some objective measurements on our carcasses so that we can give packers what they really need to move for product. And at this point we can't do that, because we all think we produce the greatest lambs, and we see the back of the dock at the stockyards, and if the price is good, then I guess we did a good job, and if the price is bad, we maybe didn't do a bad job, but circumstances maybe got you a bad price, or maybe they were shitty, I don't know, but happens. This is what we don't want. And in our program, we have a penalty at 20 millimeters, which in my opinion is pretty liberal. But every once in a while, we'll get a few fat lambs, and I get nasty texts from the guys I sell these lambs to, like, what the hell are we supposed to do with this text? And they're pretty pissed. And because what do you do with that, right? I mean, that's that front end of that rack into the shoulder, and it's awful. It's terrible. 20 millimeters is a lot on GR, for sure, and it costs you as producers a lot to put that fat on there. And you know, it's all about variation, and it's you know, you're not a bad person when you produce a 20 millimeter lamb, because you're going to get some, because, you know, we're not producing widgets here. We're producing live animals. And I like Vince's analogy when, you know, it's like watching a load of grain unload. And as it's unloading, you get grasshoppers on the sides and you get a little bit of chaff. Is that, you know, to maximize our feedlot potential, maximize what we're putting out in meat, you need a little chaff. So we are going to have some chaff. There's no doubt on the lean side and on the fat side. It's just that our partners need to understand that as well, because lots of times they think we produce widgets and we're not producing widgets, and they've got to be able to be prepared on what to do with this. I didn't ask them what to do with this, because the conversation was not going the right way that day. So, but if you like lots of taste in your lamb and you don't mind eating a bit of fat, I mean, that'd be fantastic. But there's a pile of waste there, because you can see there is that 50% of that rack is garbage. Not garbage, but it's fat, right? And unless you're, you know, working out, maybe Vince likes those. I don't know. He's working out in the cold trying to keep all those sheep alive. I don't know. Maybe I should just tell him to send them to you, Vince. anyways, there's a lot of data here, and these are the live weights on these lambs. The birth dates are in there, the breeds in there. So we've got some Bredos, we've got some Charolais crosses, and we've got some composites, and the dam sides on there as well. We've got the live weights. So the live weights are ranging anywhere from 101 to 108 pounds. And then we've got days to that age. Anita put the slide together for me, and she's got a weight per day of age. So that's some of them are ranging all the way from 0.8 pounds, like per day of age, to as low as 7 or so. And then these lambs were sold on a live weight basis on 272 a pound based on that live weight. And this with live weight was just live weight on farm. So, wow, good deal. Not really for this guy, but he could have, should have had a 3% shrink in there, but that's okay. So those are the values. Those are the gross values on the lambs. So there's a gross value there that ranges from about $275 all the way to almost $300, not quite $294. So these are the dressing percentages on these lambs. And these dressing percentages hot were with head on, pluck in, livers in. Livers into, trotters on, pelvic and kidney fat, right? The baz gone, intestines gone, stomach's gone. Yeah, wool's gone, yeah. So those dresses are, compared to the lambs that, I deal with, are high. But there's a whole lot more stuff on that carcass than what I deal with on a weekly basis. You can see one lamb there's 49%, and we're going to tell you why that's 49% in a minute here. But we've got what's important to look at here is the shrink on those lambs. So we've got hot weights and then cold weights, is that those lambs will shrink because, I mean, they go through a bit of a water bath, right, when they go into that hot cooler or into the drip cooler, right? They drip off and they lose that moisture. There'll be a certain amount of dehydration that happens depending on how much fat cover is on those lambs. And that's what I was talking about before is that, you know, we want lambs that have enough fat cover to provide taste for the product for the consumer. And we want a certain amount of cover that provides protection in that cooler, because some of these coolers can be pretty windy. And we don't want these lambs, in my opinion, if I was running a kill plant, I would not want those lambs sitting all weekend because you're going to lose 4%. And you need to start doing the math on 4% at $13 a kilo is a lot of money. And it's maybe as much as what you're making on the lambs at certain times of the year. So it's real important on a packer side that you preserve that product and have as much, have as little waste as you can to cold or to cut weight as you can. Boy, there's lots on this too, eh? Holy. All right, so what we've done here is that we have taken out the, taken off the head, and we've taken the pluck out. The heart, lungs, and livers are out. Trotters are still on, okay? When we do that, we see those dressing percentages start to come down. And this lamb here at the bottom, this lamb here at 49.1, he didn't have any, he didn't have a head because it was condemned, and the pluck was condemned too. So he was dressed more like lambs that we deal with at 49.1%, which in my opinion, at least in the plants that I deal with, is more typical. Is that you're going to have ranges in there. Dressing percentage is a hard thing because there's variation in live weight. And we used to run a test station, and Delma certainly knows better than I do because she took a lot of those weights. And those rams would get weighed on back-to-back days, and they'd be similar weights to these lambs. And there would always be at least one ram that would be 10 pounds difference weighing in back-to-back days. and you'd back the ram off the scale and test the scale because we must have done that wrong. And the ram still lost 10 pounds, or he's 10 pounds up. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that when you start comparing individual dress weights on individuals, it's hard to make much sense of it. And what you need to do is look at groups. Groups of lambs that are same sex, same breed, same feed. And the important thing, if you do sell lambs dressed, is to weigh those lambs with the same fill, and preferably at the same time every week. Hopefully your feeding schedule is similar, but you don't want to be weighing lambs that have different fill, because it's not about your farm scale. Like, that's really got nothing to do with it. It's about hitting the dress weight target that you want to hit. And, you know, because, man, there's lots of variation on farm scales, like huge. There could be 10 pounds difference on farm scales, but that's really not the point. The point is to be able to hit that sale weight that you're after, because that's what you're getting paid on. So what we've done here is Anita's put this through the formula. So there was the research that was done at the Lacombe Meat Center, and it was done by a prof for those of us that went to University of Guelph like eons ago, called Steve Jones, and they developed a meat sellable meat yield index or formula. They also developed lean yield estimates and saleable retail yield, but this is saleable meat that you used here. So it's based on the GR of that lamb, and that's based on the muscle scores that are in there. So we did have lots of fair bit of variation in scores. That slides in here, those three lambs. Yeah, maybe we'll go to that first. Oops. There we go. So there's three lambs, like on your right side. Okay, those are three lambs that were in the project here. So that lamb in the middle has got a five leg. It's a 5-4-4. And the lamb on the right is a 4-4-4. And the lamb on the left is a 3-3-3. So it's nice. I mean, it's just, we didn't move carcasses around. This is just the way they rolled off the floor, which was kind of convenient for sure. But it's a good illustration, similar to those pictures before, that we had those kind of variations in muscle score. But you can certainly see in that middle lamb, he's got a lot of pop in that back leg and a lot of thickness through the loin. So it's nice. It's good. So that's the saleable meat yield. That's the formula down there that Anita used. So we're not making this shit up, okay? This actually happened. You know, there's lots of scientists and lots of techs that took lamb carcasses and separated with scalpels, separated lean from bone from fat. And then, broke those lambs down, weighed retail cuts. So this is the yield that we've got. So there's a range in yield there from 73 is the lowest, and to almost 80, 79.24. So what Anita has done here is we've taken the gross price and divided it by that percentage yield to get a price per kilo of saleable meat out of those lambs. And then it gets amplified even more because we've got some lambs in there that we've paid for at the same live price, but there's significant difference in what we actually get in retail yield, saleable yield out of those lambs, and what it costs us to do that. So we've got a lamb in there that's as low as 5.9 dollars per pound of saleable yield. And we've got some in there that, even though they're priced the same live, that's as high as $7. So pretty significant difference when you start looking at what kind of retail yield you're going to get on that product. So I think it was a great exercise. I mean, it's, we didn't do anything special. They were just lambs, just normal, you know, lambs that everybody produces. And thanks for the producers that put them in there. And it's... I think it's a great demonstration of what kind of variation we see and gives you a bit of an insight, I hope, into what our processors have to deal with. Even though you've got lambs, you saw those groups of lambs, and they were nice and uniform, and as uniform as I think we can make them on a live basis. But then when you go to cut those lambs out, what kind of variation you've seen there in what they're paying per pound of saleable meat yield is huge. So it's good. Hope you get an idea what's going on there. So.
Just the last. There's no more slides, right?
I appreciate all these coming out. It's good to see so many show up for this. As it has been introduced, I'm Delmer Martin from Peel Meat Packers. I probably came with more questions than answer for you guys, because I don't want to make it look like I know anything, because I'm kind of here by myself, because my main goal is 100% mortality, and yours isn't. So. So going back about 20 years ago is when that's pretty much when I remember the first lamb we had done. And it was the furthest thing from me. It wasn't at all on my radar to get into it. And took the back burner, and to be honest, it has been back burner for 20 years now. We've made some improvements, and it's like Bill had mentioned, that there's probably not a good lamb plant in the area. And I agree with that. We've all just kind of retrofitted into the beef slaughter plant and trying to make things work. So, but I see a lot of potential in the lamb industry. The Muslim holiday Eid, Qurbani, whatever you know it as, I'm sure you all know when that is. The first one we had done 60 head in a day. That was a long, hard day. And I thought that was it for lamb. Since we've done just shy of 1,000 in a day, and our average would be around 60 an hour of lamb. And kind of where we're at now is, on average, what we would be buying and selling as wholesale, it's a total different market than what Bill's talking about. But we would be on average of 200 that we're purchasing, and those are coming out of auctions like Olex in Brussels. And then there's the custom kill, which is other wholesalers bringing their own product in, and we slaughter, and they pick up and do whatever they do. And that's around 300. So we're on average around 500 lambs a week, which brings us just north of 25,000 a year is kind of the production we're running. And so all that work that has been put into it, or the work that we have, has been with absolutely no marketing efforts whatsoever. It's actually been trying to hide from it. So to me, that there's huge opportunity in the industry for Ontario lamb. I personally am not much of a lamb eater, but from those that are, they say there's, no offense to the New Zealand lamb, but they say there's nothing like the real Ontario lamb. The taste is different. I think it's milder, and that's what people prefer. We're not used to it, didn't grow up on it. So there's a few questions that I had. Do you as producers prefer to take your lambs directly to auction or to a plant? Yeah. Raise your hand if you prefer to go live auction. That's good. How about going direct to plant? That's about the same. I'd like to know reasons, if I could find somebody to tell me why you prefer to go to direct.
You know, you have to, if you're going to go direct, you have to trust who you're selling to too, because some people get burnt once in a while. So with the auctions, we're, you know, you're coming home with a check that day. So,
yeah, it makes sense to me. And I go to the auction to go get burned. Yeah.
Our farm, we prefer to sell direct to plant to the plant if we can. For me, it's kind of a animal welfare issue. When my lambs leave my barn, I like to have them dead and killed that day. When they go to auction, no, we all see it. They go there. They might go the day before the sale. They're crammed in pens for a day or two without feed and water sometimes. So we prefer direct for that reason.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, for ourselves, we haven't done any effort in going direct. There's some that do, like Ryan. We buy some direct from them, and we prefer that. But because we haven't put in enough structure into our company yet to handle those relationships is the reason why we haven't. So the slide that's up right now, the one to your right, the skinny ones, that's where we get burned. So these are not lambs that we had bought. It's the custom kill lambs. And the farmer may have got a good price on those skinny lambs because there was a new buyer in the ring that shouldn't have been there. The farmer probably got a really good price because one buyer was squaring up with another one. And that's the part I don't like about auction. It fluctuates. It's a good place to figure out a lot of things, but for a regular, consistent product, we're better to go direct to farms. And what we like to see is the 444s, and if you can get a 5, it's like Bill mentioned, it's the customers, that's all they want. And if we could do that consistently, without doing any math, we could probably double our sales if we had everything with 544s. So whoever produced that lamb, thank you. Appreciate those.
Thank you very much, guys, for your talk.
Hey, Stacy, what's new at Ontario Sheep Farmers?
Ooh, thanks for asking. The Master Shepherd's course kicked off earlier this month. This is a 12-module course offered over an 18-month period and includes 10 online modules, one 2-day in-person module, and one 2-day farm tour. Participants in this course are expected to have at least 3 years experience with sheep production, either as a sheep business owner, operator, or as an employee working on a sheep farm. For those interested, single model registration is now available. Module 1 continues until February 6th, and Module 2 flock productivity and reproduction starts on February 11th. You can visit ontariosheep.org for full module details and to register. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Flock Talk, please subscribe to your podcast app to receive alerts for our future episodes. And please share our podcast with your friends.
For more Ontario Sheep Farmers content, follow us on social media at Ontario Sheep Farmers on Instagram and Facebook, at Ontario Sheep on X, and visit our website at ontariosheep.org.